I smell children.
Hi, everyone. This is Rewind. Let's watch that again with Rochelle and Zach. We are going to be talking about movies between 1990 and 2010 that really helped mold us as we grew up in the 90s. After almost 30 years, the time is almost here when the sequel to Hocus Pocus finally premieres, and I cannot wait. And I thought, what a better way than to do an episode on the first movie? So stay tuned.
I smell tacos.
Goober. Okay, so we begin in a small town in 1693 where Thackeray Binks, and that's Thackeray, not Zachary, like many think, but Thackeray Binks realizes his little sister Emily has been lured into the woods under the control of a witch. He eventually finds the house, and inside the house, three aging evil witches, the Sanderson sisters, Winifred, Mary, and Sarah, played by Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah Jessica Parker, respectively, are brewing a potion in a cauldron to make themselves younger by using Emily's life. Thackeray tries to save her, but he's too late and is turned into a black cat that will never die even after losing his 9 lives. So, the witches are hung, but before they are, Winnie casts a curse or a spell that on All Hallows' Eve, a virgin shall light the black flame candle and resurrect them. Years later, we meet Max Dennison, who just moved to Salem, Massachusetts. He doesn't believe the folklore about the Sanderson sisters and says it's just a bunch of hocus pocus. On Halloween night, he explores an abandoned house with his sister Danny, played by Thora Birch, and their new friend Allison. After dismissing a story that Allison shares as superstition, Max lights the black flame candle and brings the Sanderson sisters back to life. Now, with the help of Thackeray Binks, who's still a black cat, the kids must steal the witch's book of spells to stop them from becoming immortal.
So, my entire life, I thought it was Zachary Binks.
Like, I know, many people have.
I even used to quote that, like, Zachary Binks. And I was like, oh, Zachary.
You are wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was Thackeray.
I feel like they changed it whenever they put it on Disney Plus. Because I think it was Zachary Binks, and then someone named Zachary Binks was like, nope.
I wonder if the person that first came up with the character's name had a lisp. And so just to keep
this
going.
This is Mike Tyson.
just to keep going with it, they kept it as Thackeray Binks.
I like how you said Thackeray.
Yeah. But that makes you wonder, you know?
Kind of makes you wonder. I took it from you. Kind of makes you wonder.
Kind of makes you go,
All right. Hocus Pocus started as a bedtime story. The inspiration of Hocus Pocus came from film writer and producer of this movie, David Kirshner, a natural storyteller who loved to entertain his daughter with fresh and interesting stories. He quoted, "Halloween is a huge deal in our home, and it's been since our daughters were little," Kirshner told Yahoo in 2015. "It speaks to me in a way that becomes so emotional for me, and it always has." Inspired by a black cat in the neighborhood one evening, he told her a bedtime story about a boy who had turned into a black cat as a punishment for angering a witch. His daughters loved the story, and Kirshner refined it to the script of Hocus Pocus. Kirshner went on to pitch the plot of the spooky story to the Walt Disney Studios in 1984. The writers used props to pitch Hocus Pocus to studio executives by having them enter a dark room with broomsticks and a vacuum cleaner hanging from the ceiling. They also scattered 15 pounds of candy corn throughout the room in an effort to invoke Halloween nostalgia.
The film made its theatrical debut in July of 1993. The summertime release date may have contributed to its less than great box office performance. Director Kenny Ortega spoke about the film's initial flop in a 2020 interview with Forbes. He said, "Honestly, at that point, I thought it's all over for me. I thought to myself, I'm never going to get a chance to do this ever again. My career as a filmmaker was all over." Then, over the years, everything changes, he continued. What I've learned is don't give up. I believed in Hocus Pocus. The girls believed in it. And even though it wasn't found by audiences immediately, the generations have believed in it. Maybe it flopped at first because it was released in July instead of September or October. Though it didn't have a terrible opening, it came out with $8,125,471, which put it in fourth place at the box office that weekend. But it then fell to $2,017,688 a few weeks later. And bad reviews from the critics didn't help matters either. Entertainment Weekly was particularly put off by the movie, calling it a piece of corny slapstick trash, and saying that it's acceptable, scary, silly kid fodder that adults will find only mildly insulting. Unless they're Bette Midler fans, in which case it's depressing as heck. Bette Midler, by the way, has said that Hocus Pocus is her favorite film out of all the films she's ever done. Her co-star, Thora Birch, who we have met whenever we did the movie Now and Then, she plays Teenie in there, if you guys remember that. But anyway, Thora Birch also agreed, saying, "The most fun I ever had on a film was Hocus Pocus." Midler isn't the only star of the film who isn't the only one to love it. Kathy Najimy has said she watches the movie with her family every year in August, reliving the fun between the July release date and the coming Halloween season. While we are sure part of it is because she loves the film, we're also pretty confident it's because Najimy is a self-professed Bette Midler super fan.
And who's Najimy?
Kathy Najimy, she is the big happy nun on Sister Act.
Who's she in this?
She is Mary, the sister that has the weird mouth with the...
Yeah, the Bell's palsy mouth.
The Bell's palsy looking kind of mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's her.
Okay. I got you. It coming out in July, that's kind of weird. That's like coming out with a Christmas movie, not in the Christmas season. So like anything before Thanksgiving and after February.
Right.
So that would be kind of, I can understand why people wouldn't want to go watch it. But
right.
It kind of made me feel, as you're reading it, it made me feel like Shawshank Redemption. Like they pushed this out, Disney pushed it on TV, and people would watch it because it was on TV, and people started to like it because of that. It kind of had that feel to me.
Right. And well, my guess is, this is my theory for it, is maybe they had it come out in July. Which back then, though, movies didn't come out on VHS, because this would have been VHS times, or on TV, wouldn't be available to purchase at home until a lot later. But maybe they were hoping it would be available to purchase at an October or Halloween time, you know? Because I think that's kind of what they did with Zombies 3. Zombies 3 came out this summer in July, which is weird because when you think of zombies and werewolves, and then of course the aliens that are in the movie, you're thinking Halloweenish stuff, but it came out in July. So my guess in theory is they're going to be having the DVD available for purchase this October, this fall.
I don't know. I'm going to have to differ with you there. Like if I'm pushing out a movie, my box office is where the money's at. Like
not the DVD purchase?
No, like the money's in the box office to me. And so I would figure that they should have aimed it more towards that and it might have been more successful, but I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows? There could be many speculations on that one for sure.
Although she didn't know it at the time of filming, Sarah Jessica Parker is a distant descendant of a woman accused of witchcraft during the Salem witch trials. She's the 10th great-granddaughter of Esther Elwell. Esther was accused of witchcraft in 1692. Fortunately for Mrs. Elwell, by the time she was detained, the witch trials had gotten so out of control that the mob was even trying to drag the governor's wife for witchcraft. She was released and went on to live well into her 80s, a very respectable old age for a 17th century American colonist. Sarah Jessica Parker didn't find this out, however, until nearly 20 years after filming Hocus Pocus. In 2010, she was the guest star on the premiere of NBC's genealogy show, Who Do You Think You Are?, where experts showed how far back they could trace lineage.
Can you imagine finding out you are related to one of the people accused? Do you remember any of the names of the girls that were brought forward for the witch trials?
Oh, there's too many of the name. I mean,
I but they made a movie on it, and I know, what's her name, who's now in Stranger Things, got caught for shoplifting. Winona Ryder, that's it. It took me a bit there to think of it. Winona Ryder was in the movie, but either
she got caught, she got in trouble for shoplifting.
Yeah,
in real life.
Yeah, it's on like a security cam. Mm-hmm.
Winona Ryder was shoplifting.
Yep, that was like the downfall of her fame.
Seriously, why? Yeah. Why was she shoplifting?
Heck if I know.
What was she shoplifting?
I want it to me look like a Macy's, but it probably wasn't Macy's because I mean, she's a movie star. But you think still,
it was an accident?
No. I'm pretty sure she's shoving something into her purse.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't know that.
Definitely not an accident. It did not look like an accident from the video I had seen.
Oh, now I feel kind of bad.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She's come a long way. She had a good comeback. I think Stranger Things has helped her have a big comeback.
Just I didn't know she ever went away.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened with Robert Downey Jr. He had a horrible drug issue from being like an 80s child star, had a big issue with drugs, and then he really came back. I honestly think was Sherlock Holmes before Iron Man or after, but either way, Iron Man brought him back, and he's been amazing to watch in other movies since then. He's hilarious. Love him. But yeah, I think it'd be really cool to go visit Salem, Massachusetts, just for fun. I don't believe in witchcraft whatsoever, but I think it would just be cool because it's a historical place.
Yeah. I don't know? If we go to Boston, then that's fine, maybe.
Cause do a little detour.
Boston's my favorite city. So.
Yeah. Do a little detour. I'd like to go see just for the historical fact.
Yeah. Well, Boston is my favorite city, but now I found out Cheers isn't there anymore. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
That is sad. I mean, I was really looking forward to going in there and going, no.
Yeah. I remember. I remember. Quite a few years ago, it was probably the winter of 2015,
because we had just started talking.
Yeah, and it was, I went there and went to Cheers before a Celtics game, and it was really cool, but I had since seen the person that I was with on that trip, and she said that place is no longer open anymore. She went there recently, and it's not there anymore, so it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Does not make sense to me whatsoever.
I was literally thinking about that today as I was washing dishes. Because
you're washing your Cheers mug?
I was washing my Cheers mug, and I was thinking, how could the city let something like that, which was a staple in that city.
Yeah.
How would they let that not be around? Like, I know that COVID probably had something to do with it.
True, which is unfortunate.
You think there would be some sort of like, oh, we'll give you some help to help you along the way. I don't know. That's crazy.
Or make it a museum or something. Yeah, or like a little. It was
basically a museum.
Yeah. Well. Leonardo DiCaprio said he was offered more money than he'll ever dreamed of to play Hocus Pocus' leading man, Max Dennison. But DiCaprio turned down the part to hold out for a role in the movie What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which came out in the same year. But that movie, he hadn't even auditioned for it yet. And in a 2014 interview with Variety, DiCaprio said, "I don't know where the heck I got the nerve. You live in an environment where you're influenced by people telling you to make a lot of money and strike while the iron's hot." DiCaprio went on and did star in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, of course, and then Omri Katz played Max instead. You know, that's extremely gutsy, you know, to turn down a role that you haven't, that you're being offered a good amount of money for something that you are going to go audition for and you don't even know if you've got it yet. I mean, that's sheer dumb luck.
I don't know.
Or he's a great actor, I will say.
And I mean, when you think of him, you wouldn't have thought, like, I don't know, his life maybe had went in a different direction if he wasn't in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Because in his early years, you think of him as, you know, not Gilbert Grape, but Arnie Grape. And you think of him as a young actor doing that. And if he was in this movie, you might not, I don't know, maybe It wouldn't have, especially if it flopped as much as it did, it wouldn't have.
He was in a TV show before all this.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, like, it could have veered his career in a different direction. That's what my...
True. My first...
Everything happens for a reason type of thing.
I hadn't seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape until, I think, last year. Just, it was not something that piqued my interest, but I went ahead and watched it. I think you talked me into it, but... My first introduction, like most girls my age, was second grade, Titanic, seeing him as the beautiful, handsome Jack that Rose stupidly let him go and didn't share the door with. He totally could have fit on that door. I'm just saying. That's all. Yeah. I know everyone's with me on that one. Okay. But anyway, I don't think he would have gotten that role. He wouldn't have gotten Romeo in the Romeo and Juliet movie. I mean,
Basketball Diaries.
I never saw that one. Was just, that good? You're just throwing out names of movies he's done. Yeah, but he really is a gifted actor. I will say
that one's a role that it's like, oh wow. if you know what I'm talking about, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's why I said it. I'm not going to get into detail, but...
No, do share. I'm curious.
This is a PG show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I only knew he was in Basketball Diaries because I had Teen Bop, I had M Magazine, I had all of those girly magazines.
I had those magazines. They were good. I'm just joking. I'm joking.
I only knew of it because the picture had said Basketball Diaries on it, so...
Did you know that two actors helped bring Thackeray Binks? I can't say it. I'm going to say Zachary. Did you know two actors helped bring Zachary Binks' character to life?
Thackeray.
I'm saying Zachary. I don't care. As shown in the film, the Sanderson sisters turned 17th century Zachary Binks into a cat after he insulted the witch Winifred Sanderson. NCIS star Sean Murray played the human version of Binks, and actor Jason Marsden voiced the character both in his human and feline forms. In 2017, Marsden told the Daily Beast that producers dubbed his voice over Murray's because the actor sounded contemporary and they thought it would be more realistic if Binks had an affected accent from the same time period as the witches.
You know, there's another movie that we had done where the same thing happened.
Yeah, that was the baseball.
Yeah, A League of Their Own with Gina Davis. Interesting, though. They did a really good job of dubbing all of that over, for sure.
Doug Jones, who played the zombie Billy Butcherson in Hocus Pocus, had real moths in his mouth.
Whoa.
Yeah, so whenever his mouth gets opened up and you see the moths flying out, those are real live moths. And as I saw this that you put into this this script and talked to me about it, I was like, that is insane. But thankfully for you, you looked into it a little bit more. And in a 2018 interview with Bloody Disgusting,
yeah,
I guess that's a magazine or some online thing or something.
Yeah.
Makeup and special effects designer Tony Gardner said that the actor wore a mouth rig, which was a latex pocket attached to dentures that blocked off Jones's throat to make the moths come out the front. There was a small hole in the very back of the pocket so that Doug could cough some air through it. An animal wrangler would place several moths in the pocket with tweezers, then the stitches would get glued shut, and then we'd run out of frame so that they could get to the shot as fast as possible, Gardner said. Pretty cool. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a really good find. That one, and then, I mean, I'm playing favorites here for the ones that I said. That one, and then the... Sarah Jessica Parker one. That's really good finds.
Yeah. And I believe Bloody Disgusting Magazine, it's one of those horror film ones where they do like the special effects and whatnot. I mean, that's one of those things, Mask Off. If you've ever watched that show, it's on Sci-Fi.
Did you say Mask Off?
I think it's called Mask Off. Mask Off. It's like Baked Off. Bake Off. Shush it. I'm trying to get the words right here. Mask Off, M-A-S-K, space, O-F-F, where different artists are doing, like makeup artists are doing these sci-fi prosthetic makeups and everything. It's really cool to watch.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
No, you don't. No,
I do. I 100% do. I 100% do. They have a time and they got to put it on there. The best they can. They have a theme that they do.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I enjoyed watching it. Nerdy me. Shush it. Okay. So when it comes to movie details, there are sharp-eyed viewers and then there are unbelievably sharp-eyed viewers. I feel like I fall in between the two. This little detail I'm going to share comes to us courtesy of those unbelievably sharp-eyed movie fans out there. The fountain that's in Hocus Pocus is the same fountain in the opening of the show, Friends.
I'll be there for you. That one. Clapper, clapper, clap.
Clapper, clapper, clap.
Clapper, clapper, clapper.
But yes, that
pivot,
fountain.
Pivot.
Pivot. Shut up. Shut up. Okay, sorry. I will continue. So while fans of the show Friends might be under the impression that the iconic fountain from the opening scene is located in New York City, it isn't. The fountain is actually located at the Warner Brothers studio in Burbank, California. As such, it has appeared in a wide variety of movies and films over the years, dating all the way back to the 1960s. If you're looking for a very similar fountain that's actually in New York City, however, do pop over to Cherry Hill Fountain in Central Park. It's not the one from Friends, but it looks pretty darn close to it, and it's actually in the city, of course. So, just like the fountain is part of Hollywood movie lot, quite a bit of the rest of the film is too. When Max stops to talk to the cat Binks outside of a home with a wrought iron fence and blue shutters, that is none other than the house from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's so crazy.
Right?
Like, now, honestly, I want to rewatch it again.
Yes.
Just so I can see it.
Yes.
Because that's one of the movies we do all the time.
All time favorite.
Yes.
Can't go wrong
every
with it.
Every year we watch it. And so I would definitely recognize it. But why did it? I don't know. Maybe whatever. But
that's why this is one of those things that the really sharp-eyed viewers would have picked out of. Like I said, I fell in between because I did not pick up on this one. So
I picked up on Zachary Binks.
No, it's Thackeray.
Oh, darn it.
Anyway.
Gonna sharpen my ears a little bit.
So as a fun little coincidence also, the actress that played Dani Dennison, who is Thora Birch, she revisited the same house later on in her career.
And they found little Kevin in the house all alone. Sorry.
Kevin?
Yeah. No, Kevin. Kevin. Oh, shoot. I thought it was a balloon. This whole time, I was picturing Home Alone house in the front of it.
And you say you're a National Lampoon.
No, I am. I was agreeing. Like, we do watch National Lampoons all the time.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Literally, in my mind, as I'm thinking about it, as we're talking about it, I'm thinking about the little statue in the front that the guy runs over.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
house.
Yeah, that holds the lamp.
It's like, well, it's a statue, but it's like...
He's holding a lamp.
Oh, got you. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, that whole time. That's why I said, little Kevin's there?
And no.
That's a really bad joke because there's nobody named Kevin.
And no.
I'm like, Kevin? You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
You should be. Anyway, that very same house that the kids stop in front of after escaping from the witches and where Max talks to Binks, it's also the same house where Thora Birch's character in the movie American Beauty lives. But that's hardly the only places you'll ever find this particular Warner Brothers backlot home. The street it sits on is a fictional street called Blondie Street and features a number of homes that have appeared in everything from old TV shows like I Dream of Jeannie and the Donna Reed Show. For those that don't know who Donna Reed is, she plays Mary, who is George Bailey's wife in It's a Wonderful Life, to modern titles. In fact, if you look very closely at the shutters and chimney while watching the Marvel show WandaVision, you'll notice that Wanda and Vision live in the same house as Clark Griswold.
Oh my gosh. I take back like everything that I said that was really good because I think this is my favorite thing so far.
Right?
That's really cool.
Like when I was watching, like when I found this stuff, I was like, oh my gosh. Like I have been itching to share all of this with you.
That's amazing.
It's been hard
keep it to myself. I'm glad I don't read your stuff. Like whenever you put these down, I don't even read yours. I just read mine so I get a general idea of what mine's about.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Right?
Oh my darn. Oh my gosh. It's even cooler that they didn't leave Kevin in that home alone.
Lord. Ugh. Okay. Now, remember, everyone, it is just a bunch of hocus pocus.
Okay. It's tough to follow that one.
Tough crowd, tough crowd.
Squeak eat, squeak eat. That's a cricket. This has been Rewind. Let's watch that again. Please look for us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter under the same name and follow us for updates on future episodes. Each new episode will drop every Wednesday, where we'll go into depth on another film we consider to be a classic from the 90s and 2000s. Also, feel free to send us an email about what you thought or if you have any comments on the show. You can contact us via those social media outlets or email us at rewindletswatchthatagain@yahoo.com.